This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Building that survived the revolution. 850-year-old Notre Dame on fire during the day, and the world held its breath. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Hope you're off to a great start this week. Certainly in Paris, not a great start when you think about how iconic the cathedral is. It was on fire. Shocked onlookers watched from nearby bridges. You saw flames and smoke everywhere I went. I'm in Savannah broadcasting. People were watching it, frankly. I mean, in hotels, in bars, in restaurants, every place that I was as I was speaking in Savannah. So according to the Napoleon Foundation, the cathedral was renamed Temple to the Goddess Reason, and at one point served as a storage place for wine. So when France and the Catholic Church reconciled in 1801, the cathedral was returned to the church. Napoleon later used it during his coronation. Big deal. Let's put it that way. The rise of enlightened thinking. I mean, I could go on and on. The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Victor Hugo's novel, which was published in 1831, centers around Quasimodo, the cathedral's bell ringer, and Esmeralda, a street dancer. I mean, listen, it was home to relics tied to the Passion of Christ, and the cathedral included a fragment of the true cross, believed to be part of the cross on which Jesus was crucified, and one of the holy nails believed to be used in the crucifixion. So this is a BDD. It's a big deal. And there was renovations that were going on. Now, apparently, lots of what was in the stunning cathedral was saved, but lots of it was also lost. The specifics of the stunning cathedral and what fell to ashes and what remains, all of that is still being sorted out. But just an incredible, incredible shock and an incredible tragedy to the world, because it was one of those places where you went and it took your breath away, and people who spent lots of time there certainly could attest to that even more than me. But you know, Emmanuel Macron, the leader of France, said, "We'll rebuild Notre Dame together." I mean, that's what we'll do. The Notre Dame towers are believed safe. A lot of the art, some of the relics were rescued, but certainly some of the things that were precious to the building are definitely gone. And you could see that in watching the fire. And like I said, people know Notre Dame, so there were some gasps and sighs, and I mean, I saw it all day in a place that wasn't close to Paris, in a place that was on the southeast border of the United States, so let's, you know, put it that way. The other big story, and I've talked about it this last hour, well, Notre Dame was burning. Thursday, the Justice Department is going to supposedly release Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report on the Russian investigation. They're going to make it public. It's going to be redacted, of course, but it'll go to Congress. It'll be available to the public. So this is a big deal, because this is our money. We paid for this investigation. We've been waiting to have it released. And the president released unleashed a series of tweets on Monday, including just 2 minutes after the Justice Department's announcement, focusing on the, you know, favorable words of the Attorney General, William Barr. And Mueller officially concluded his investigation late last month, submitted the confidential report to the AG, and, you know, we've known that there's this four-page letter that detailed the principal conclusions. But now there's the rest of it. and what does it mean, and what is the report going to look like? And, you know, this is, you got to think about this. The Russian investigation goes back to July of 2016. That's when the FBI opened the counterintelligence investigation into Russia's efforts to influence the 2016 presidential campaign. And frankly, the question of whether anyone on the Trump campaign was involved. So this has been a very, very, right, long process, and finally, you know, we'll see something anyway on Thursday. What specifically we'll see, you know, we don't know, but I think there'll be some interesting tidbits anyway to come out of it, and we'll see for sure if that actually happens, if it's, you know, Thursday or not, or does that date get pushed a little bit, or it doesn't get pushed a little bit. This might be surprising to some. You know, I used to say it was the poll princess because we were always talking about political polls and what do they mean, and this new national Emerson poll that included 20 Democratic candidates, because, you know, it's a who's who, for president, found that Senator Bernie Sanders, who just released 10 years of tax returns, is ahead of the pack with 29%, followed by the VP, former VP, Joe Biden, 24%. Then you had the mayor, Mayor Pete, he had 9%. Beto O'Rourke, Kamala Harris, you know, they're at single digits. How about that? I mean, this is one poll, but how interesting is it to see him immediately pop up in those double figures? I would wonder. I would love to compare other polls, and I'm sure they're soon to come out, to see where they match up. Because I think that's, I don't know, I think it's pretty significant, let's put it that way. I always say that America Tonight is about the buzz in your backyard and mine, and that I feel like I'm the voice of reason, that whether you're right or left of left, or you want to call yourself somewhere in between or not even label yourself, that we can have that conversation. And, you know, one of the conversations we would have wouldn't be political. It would be about the weather. So while I'm in Savannah broadcasting to you in pretty warm temperatures, the humidity here is crazy. It's a beautiful city, though, a huge port city. How about the fact that there was snow in Chicago? So in the Windy City, the snowy weather caused the postponement of a Major League Baseball game between the Cubs and the Dodgers. And just a day earlier, by the way, the two teams played under incredible conditions. You know, incredible. So it snows the next day. I mean, how do you figure this out? Again, you can have late snows, but Palm Sunday, 4 to 8.5 inches of snow in eastern Iowa, northwest and west central Illinois. It affected the conference where I was speaking, frankly, in Savannah. People couldn't get here from the Midwest. They stayed all night in airports, etc. But northeast Missouri, the Wisconsin border, snow, wind. Almost 20,000 people lost power in Missouri alone. And, you know, so there was definitely snow happening, and it was disrupting travel, and it was causing people to just be stunned by the fact that, you know, here we are almost at Easter Sunday, and we're talking about snow where the day before you're playing a ball game, and then the very next day you can't take to the field because it's covered in snow. Crazy. All right, hang with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side. Again, I hope you're kicking your week in style. I am certainly in Savannah. Check out Savannah. It is pretty darn cool, and I'll bring you some of the sights and sounds of Savannah as we get deeper into the week. So stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 31st to June 3rd for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, and UFO sightings. More than 100 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts like Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, Linda Moulton Howe, Eric Von Doniken, Doc Wallach, and so many more. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Book called Healing and Transformation, Moving from the Ordinary to the Extraordinary. And wait till we dive into this. You are going to love it. So pay attention. Eric, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
So the title is great. I mean, it really grabs you. I'm just going to ask the broad question first. How do we truly move from the ordinary to the extraordinary?
It's about relinquishing our egos, not only our psychological ego, but also our spiritual ego. And they come into existence because we all experience emotional wounds and traumas, whether minor or greater. And in the process of doing that, the egos form. Now, the egos do have a useful function. They protect us from doing destructive or stupid things. But on the other hand, they can limit us and keep us from expanding and growing. And life is meant to be joyful. We're meant to walk the path of joy. And in doing that, we have to learn how to relinquish the ego so that we can begin the process of moving forward to creating our lives as masterpieces of joy.
This is powerful stuff. And, you know, walking the path of joy, anyone listening to this, I guarantee, who doesn't want to do that? And it's a tough thing to do, to relinquish the ego. And you said it, you need it for protection in certain ways, but to walk that joy, that path of joy, you have to relinquish it. So give us some tips or some ideas on how we can start to do that.
Well, part of the process is to learning how to be still and go within. We live hectic and busy lives, and our mind likes to fill itself with all kinds of chatter and thoughts. And we find diversions in things like television and the like. And what we have to learn how to do is to just go silently within and begin to contemplate our lives, what's going right, what's going wrong, and how we can change things. And then in certain cases, we have to begin to explore all the healing technology that's available to us, whether it's self-help books, getting into some kind of counseling or therapy, or finding a religious tradition that emphasizes the positive and not is fear-based and negative. And in doing those things, we begin to learn how to let go of the ego and the negative aspects of the ego and begin to walk a path of joy. With our current technology and availability on the internet especially, the thoughts and ideas that were once allowed for a select few are now available to all of us. And if you're guided, you can find things that will help you to move forward. And since there are no coincidences in life, you're able to find the path that you're directed to begin the process of doing this.
And we're speaking with Eric Alsterberg. The book is called Healing and Transformation, Moving from the Ordinary to the Extraordinary. You are, I'm sure, going to rush out and pick this up when you're listening to this and talking about hanging on to. That's why I said this is such a great topic, subject, et cetera, and it's been your life's work, and you've seen this in dealing with people. If you can just get there, it really is. It really does open up everything to you, right? Because you know how to get through whatever the hurdles are that are thrown your way when you can walk that path of joy, right?
Yes. And the process helps guide you even further to moving forward. So as I go forward in the book, I talk about how to relinquish the ego and truly walk the spiritual path. And the spiritual path is complete forgiveness, and most importantly of yourself, complete non-judgment, and unconditional love. And although those sound very simple, they're actually very hard to do. But it is possible to do it. And in doing that, you really begin to manifest that path of joy that we're talking about.
Yeah, and you talk about non-judgment, and that's one of the harder things, isn't it? Because of the world we live in, because of how we are raised and how we look at things through whatever lens that is. Part of that is, isn't it, going back and just relinquishing, like you said, forgiving yourself and just letting go of all of that fear?
It is, and it's amazing in working with my clients, the thing that they find the hardest to do is to forgive themselves. So one of the dangers with our egos is that we continually punish ourselves and feel that we have fallen short. And in fact, if you understand God and unconditional love, he's already forgiven us. So in our ego, we say, well, God's forgiven us, but we can't forgive ourselves. And that's the furthest from the truth.
So somebody starts on this journey, and you said it, you've worked with so many people and you've seen this over the years. Is that what drove you to write the book? Because you knew, hey, I've got this key and it's all coming together. To me, it's like you're a great puzzler and you've put the pieces together. Does it feel like that? Is that why you really wanted to share this with everyone?
It is. And part of it was as I increasingly walked the metaphysical path as well as the work I do with clients, I began to put all together the thoughts about this and give people the idea about how they may do it for themselves as well.
What do you think is that, and you talked about it, whether it's self-help books, and then of course the stillness is so important, and the various specific tools in doing this that you talk about in your book. But what do you think is the first thing that someone really has to do as they try to decide, okay, how am I going to tackle this?
Well, the first step is just to be honest with yourself that life isn't always gone as well as we'd like, and that we get trapped in defensive systems and ways of thinking that interfere with our ability to move forward. And so we live lives of quiet misery rather than seeing that there really is the possibility to move forward and create joy in our lives. A great example is when we have that first rejection in our teen years of our first love. And so we make a decision at the ego level that we're never going to trust anybody again and never let anybody get that close to us. And so we stay trapped in that quiet misery rather than seeing that taking a risk and really truly finding and experiencing love, no matter what the outcome may be, is really the way to go. And so as we learn how to do that, to take risks, to take chances, to climb that mountain, we begin to see that we really can have a much better lifestyle for ourselves.
Yeah, and you mentioned this in talking about that with you too. You've really opened up a lot of doors through the metaphysical path. And it's interesting because more people are starting to gravitate toward this. I think a long time ago, decades ago, there was somewhat a hesitancy for some people. But why is that such a great way to go?
Because what you realize is that there's a larger truth and a larger reality than what our five senses say exists and what the collective consciousness, which is now shifting, by the way, says is reality. So as people have learned to experience deja vu experiences, as they've learned to experience seeing somebody in a crowd and feeling like they know them, and that person looks at you like you know them, and when you start to see near-death experiences being recounted, all these things lend themselves to a larger reality that we can begin to tap into. And that's where the relinquishing of the spiritual ego becomes very helpful as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the book is called Healing and Transformation, Moving from the Ordinary to the Extraordinary. I'm wondering, because right away I'm thinking about a sequel. Are you planning a sequel?
I am. I've already been formulating some ideas about how we can then further take this relinquishing of our egos into a more spiritual path of life and into different levels of consciousness. We live in a world that believes in a 3D consciousness, and in reality, there's other levels of consciousness, and we can begin to move into those as well. And more walk the spiritual path and experience what it is to be truly aligned with our God self, our higher self.
Wow. I can't wait for that, I got to tell you. But this book is phenomenal. What do you hope people take away from this, Eric?
That they really begin to understand and see that there's more to life, that they can really begin to walk a pathway of joy and experience life at higher and higher levels of happiness and joy. What I do in the book is I talk about learning how to create balance in our lives, how to heal ourselves at all levels, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, that there's really a real masculinity, that it's important for the return of the feminine in our lives, and how to have healthier relationships. And I also have a chapter on the sacred responsibility of parenting, because I think that's the most important job in the world, is being a parent.
Absolutely, I agree. Pick up the book, Healing and Transformation, Moving from the Ordinary to the Extraordinary. Eric Alsterberg, my pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Pope Francis remembers those who died in Sri Lanka. More from USA's Rick Vincent.
Pope Francis skipped his homily during Easter Mass, but delivered his traditional To the City and the World speech, highlighting conflicts in the Mideast, Africa, and the Americas, and demanding that political leaders put aside their differences and work instead for peace. And history's first Latin American pope also offered prayers for Venezuelans and Nicaraguans experiencing political and economic hardship.
I think in particular of the Venezuelan people, of all those who lack the minimal conditions for leading a dignified and secure life.
And special prayers needed for those in Sri Lanka this Easter, where blasts at churches and luxury hotels have left more than 200 dead and hundreds more injured. The violence ends a decade of relative peace in Sri Lanka following the end of its civil war in 2009.
This is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Joins us now, and he's written a book called Living in God's Rhyme. And this book is so fascinating because you know how I feel if you've listened to the show for any length of time about poetry. My father was a poet, and it really pleases me to bring him onto the show to talk about poetry and specifically this book. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks for having me on the show.
So the first question is the title of the book, Living in God's Rhyme. When you think of poetry and the different ways you can look at poetry and look at God's written word, was the idea to pull that all together?
Well, it's something that this is my third book with the word rhyme in it. And it's just been, I've loved writing poetry since I was in high school, and I see God. God in poetry. And when I think of him, everything I see is I can write a poem about it. There is a poem in it. Other people see it differently, but that's how I see God's word, and that's a lot of times how he speaks to me is through this poetry.
So I'm wondering, the people around you must think this is a really unique way to meld the two, that obviously poetry is your gift, and then looking at the word of God. So what do people around you say when they realize that you have this ability?
Well, I've got a number of favorable comments, and people seem to they understand it. At least I understand that that's how I express my faith, and realize that, as I realize that, we all express our faith and we all receive it in different ways, but I've had nothing but positive response from people.
So when you look at the Bible and you try to, you look at Bible passages, what are your favorites and how have you worked the poetry into them?
Well, my favorites are the ones I just read. I actually this book I wrote it for Facebook, and I posted every day. I wrote a poem, and I wrote 72 poems in 77 days for the book.
Wow.
And what I found was is that I would start reading, and after a couple verses or a couple lines even, I would stop, and there was something there that God was telling me that I should write about. And that was just a blessing for me, and a tremendous amount of growth happened at that time.
I bet. I bet because you're posting every day, and then you're feeling that, and then you're coming back around with the poetry.
Yes, and a former marketing consultant had said that I needed to be on social media. And I was already on Facebook, so I started another Facebook page called God Still Rhymes, and that's where I posted everything, and people could see me write the book, which was, for me, exciting, too.
Boy, no kidding. What was the reaction to that? Because they were seeing you as it was unfolding.
Well, it was good. I got a lot of people like it. I got a lot of favorable comments, and I was blessed when people would tell me that it was something that touched them. It was something that they needed that time. And that makes everything worthwhile when you hear something like that.
Boy, no kidding. And I want to remind everybody that Tim Carter's book, Living in God's Rhyme, you can pick it up on Amazon.com. I would be remiss if I didn't have you do this. Would you recite a poem for us?
Yes, I would. I've got one that I wrote for a dear and someone that's very dear to me. Who had gone through a struggle, and it's called One Day in the World. She has been hurt, left in the dirt, no longer standing on her feet. She lays crying in her defeat. Through tear-filled eyes, she looks up at the sky and asks the question, why? Sometimes the winner is a lie. Oh, she did often try to look beyond the lie, but it was always there, every day, everywhere. Was it a test of her faith as tears poured like rain? Could she feel God's embrace as he relieved her of pain? Her prayers, the prayers of others, but lie after lie, God was smothering. Now looking forward, not in a hurry, believing what Jesus said, do not worry. Her future is in God's hands, believing she now understands that without his presence, the world would make no sense. She will no longer struggle as the world would demand. She will wait and pray, and with God will stand. She will turn to God, trust in his word, in his plan for her, his plan the world has not heard. That's
wow.
It.
Wow, that's beautiful. And writing that about a struggle for a friend, obviously you must have given that to her, and I can only imagine how she reacted to that. I'm a little choked up.
Yeah, it was actually one of my daughters.
Oh.
And it meant everything to her. And it was something we both, and I find that a lot of times it's something that the person I write for and I both need. Because she was struggling, my wife and I were also struggling with her in that situation. So it was good for all of us.
Wow, so poetry really has helped your life, and we want to talk about your family, because you've been married 44 years, is that right? And how many kids and grandkids do you have?
Well, it's now 46.
Woo!
And, yeah, and we have 5 children and 5 grandchildren. And grandchildren age, are running ages from like about a year and a half to 23 years old. And they are a special blessing, especially, yes.
Boy, no kidding. And I bet you they enjoy, because I'm sure with your poetry, it spills into so many different areas. And I want to remind everyone again, the book is called Living in God's Rhyme. You could pick it up on Amazon.com. And also you have TimCarterBooks.com. So when you do this, and you, I want to go back to melding that with the, you know, the 72 posts and 77 days. So when you take a book like the Bible and it's, and you know how it's so huge and massive to pick out passages, did you feel like that just flowed easy for you? Or how did you, you know, decide Revelation, the Gospel of John or anything else, Corinthians, etc.? How did you do that?
Well, I would just ask the Lord for guidance on where I should be reading. Or maybe it was something that I had said, okay, I'm going to read this book all the way through. And as I went through it, things came to mind, and it would reference another book in the Bible. And there was one that some text in one of the Old Testament books reminded me of something that I had seen in Revelation. And so I went there, and it was just, it's just, I have found that if I tell God to, if I let him lead me, then that I can go where he goes. And I also found that when I write, this happened about 6 years ago when I started doing this prayer poem, I would just pray and ask God to give me the words to lead me. And it always went somewhere I never thought it was going to go. And that's been the true blessing in this whole thing.
And you started writing when you were a teenager. So like I said, that is definitely a gift. But you think of writing when you're a teenager, starting there and ending up to where you are now. Did you ever think that would happen, that you'd have these books that would pour out of you?
No, I never did. You know, as a teenager, I was the kid with a broken heart or something like that. And I always thought, well, maybe I can grow up and write like John Lennon does, and I'm glad I don't. But no, I never thought that. Early on, I had submitted a short manuscript for publishing. It was called The Jesus Bones, but the family was just starting, and I didn't have the money at the time. Upon reflection, I realized that this period of time, and it's been 40 years in the waiting, that God was waiting for me to be ready. And a lot of what I read lately is waiting on God, because he knows the time. And I wasn't ready until just in the last few years, really, to do this and put it out for people to read.
Yeah. Here's what I love. You talked about your family, how long you've been married, the grandchildren, started when you were a teenager. And then you say, oh, but I also have a day job. What's your day job?
I work for a sewer and road building contractor in their estimating department, and I don't do any estimating, but I help the estimators, and I've been in that, in the engineering side of the business since I got out of college, but it's part-time, and my wife, a few years ago, my boss asked me, how long are you going to work before you retire, and I said, oh, another year, and I told my wife, she said, oh, no, you got 4 more years, so I'm down to about a year and a half that I have to work yet.
Oh, I love it. I so funny. So the book is Living in God's Rhyme. You can certainly go to TimCarterBooks.com or Amazon.com. What do you hope that the readers take away from this?
My hope in people reading the book is that I'm just an average guy. I'm just... that they can see them, some of them see themselves in this, that, okay, I know I'm not perfect, and I'm not the guy who's written that book on self-help and telling me what I need to do and who is at that point in his life. I'm still growing in my faith. I still struggle. I have my faults, but God helps me overcome them. And I just hope that those who are in that position see that they're not the only ones and realize that there is hope. And things can work out, or that if someone who really doesn't picks it up and really doesn't know God will read it and say, there's something here. You know, there's something about this guy and what's happened with him that I want to look into. And that's my hope.
Yeah, what a great way to end this. Tim, thank you so much. Really enjoyed our conversation. And again, Living in God's Rhyme, you can get it. I've said it now several times, Amazon.com. Thanks, Tim.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Joining us now on the show is Joseph Margolino, and he's written a book that's called The Forgotten War, Fire and Death. Joe and I had a chance to catch up before he joined us on the air, and oh my gosh, his story is so fascinating. We could probably talk for hours, but we don't have that much time, so we want to jump into the meat of this. So, Joe, tell us about The Forgotten War, Fire and Death. It's about the Bronx, isn't it?
It was in South Bronx. They were trying to burn it down, and there was a change in clientele, and the welfare moved in, and we got a lot of fires, and also there was a master plan to burn the South Bronx down.
Wow, a master plan to burn the South Bronx down. For people listening to us, and plenty of people on the East Coast or people who have family from the Bronx and remember those times, and I should say, you were a fireman, so you were there on the front lines, right?
That's right, for 10 years.
Wow, 10 years. And what did your comrades say? What did the rest of the guys say about what was happening around you?
Well, in the beginning, we were all young and full of pep and vinegar, and we accepted it. We loved fire. But then it got really out of hand. We were getting 2 and 3 good fires a night. It was really bad.
Wow. And putting out those fires, how strenuous was that? I mean, it must have stressed you out because you were stretched thin, right?
Right, right. Like I said, we got 2 or 3 good fires a night, and they sometimes took an hour or two to put out each one.
You said there was a master plan to burn the South Bronx down. Why was that? Because of how awful it had gotten?
No, there was no real estate left, and they wanted to, like, build the Bronx up. And there was nothing but tenements down there. And they were getting rid of the tenements.
Wow. And so, sure, it was odd that you kept having all of these fires, et cetera. And if you go back to that time, you know, the equipment was different. The amount of manpower was different. What was a typical crew like to put out all these fires, like the title of your book said, The Forgotten War, Fire and Death? What would a typical day or night be like fighting those fires?
Well, we were going out sometimes 20 times a night on calls. And alongside of that, we were fighting 2 good fires a night. So it was hell. Believe me, it was hell.
Wow. And you tell me a story that I think is, people don't realize, I think, what it's like to be a fireman, where you're not only at the front lines of the fire, your own life could be taken, but that sometimes people, you save them and it's an amazing thing, and sometimes there's nothing you can do and they expire in your arms, right? You told me a story about that. You had a woman that you tried to rescue and she just expired right there in your arms, right?
Yes, I took her out of a plane crash and they gave it to me and her eye was out of a socket. It was on her cheek and she was to my arms, and I was taking it to the ambulance, and I could feel the blood just rolling in her chest, and she died in my arms. She drowned in her own blood.
Wow. When you're in that kind of situation, how do you deal with that mentally? That's got to be taxing.
Well, when I first started the fire department, all I thought of was fighting fires, but there was so much death, I almost quit. But you just had to put your mind to a certain state and get tough, otherwise you wouldn't have made it. You couldn't make it. It was too much debt.
Wow. Wow. And the ages, the average ages of the guys that were on the front lines with you, Joe, how old were they?
Well, we were, when we started, we were in the 20s, and they lasted till maybe 40 years old, and a lot of them died before their time. We were taking in so much toxic fumes.
Wow.
And
wow,
hundreds of them were injured, hundreds.
Hundreds.
Feet of fires. This was going on between the mid-60s and the late 70s. So hundreds of firemen were hurt.
Wow. And the name of the book is The Forgotten War, Fire and Death. Make sure that you pick it up at Amazon.com. What do you really hope people take away from reading your book, Joe?
I want them to know, well, a lot of them, the relatives don't even know what their relatives went through, like their husbands and etc., etc., and I want them to see what was really going on and what these poor people, these firefighters were going through, and also tens of thousands of people relocated, so it was hard on them also.
Right, so because of everything that was happening, people that didn't want to move or couldn't really have the means to move were forced to do that, is what you're saying, right?
Right, the Red Cross relocated a lot of people, yes.
Wow. And now when you think of your legacy and being a fireman and everything that happened there, and you see where the Bronx is now, what would you say?
I just say I would want the boys, the men, to be very, very careful because they used to put booby traps out just to kill us.
Oh.
So they cut holes in the floor when you open the door. And if you didn't, but weren't careful, they cover it with linoleum so you couldn't see what was happening. You'd walk in and you go down 2 flights. So, you know, always don't fools rush in. So take your time.
Fools rush in. When you had your training, so that brings that up for people listening, and I can just imagine they're trying to envision this. And as you said, booby traps and other things that you had to be aware of. When you encountered new things, I would imagine you just shared that with each other. But did you get any kind of training like that when you were in school, in fire school?
No, ma'am. We were trained by fire So our main thing was lives and property. First thing we do was the Boca Rescue. But we would, at that time, there was nothing like that. They were cutting fire escapes. That if we grab onto a fire escape, we go down about five stories.
Ooh.
It was, they couldn't have trained you for that. There was no way. But then as time went on, you know, the word of mouth through the firemen, we were very, very cautious.
Yeah, thank goodness, and that's that camaraderie.
Right.
So we talked about the sad story of the woman who died as you were trying to get her to the ambulance, but tell us a rescue story, a good story that made you feel good at that you were able to save someone, help someone.
Oh, well, I broke down the door, and there was an elderly lady laying on a couch, and she was an invalid, and she must have fell asleep with a cigarette, and I no sooner picked her up and the couch torched up. Otherwise, she would have burned right in front of me.
Wow. Wow. And the toll that this has taken on your life physically, what happens to you after you've done this kind of work?
Well, I got buried alive when I first started. And right now I'm a quadriplegic. I can't move. I just can't move.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, Joe. All that dedication and fighting in a really rough, rough time. And the book, again, is The Forgotten War, Fire and Death. And you told me, you left me a message about you're raising money. Tell us about that.
Yes, I would like to, if any chance, like Hollywood or somebody would pick it up, I would donate $250,000 if I could, and I'd give it to St. Jude's and the city for those little babies that are dying of cancer.
Yeah, so, so sad. What do you think, and when you look at this, what do you think of, because I was in New York when 9/11 happened, and obviously
right.
You were there too. What did, and you saw the loss of the firemen there, what did that feel like to you? I thought that was just awful.
Oh, it takes a heart. See, at that time, I was going through post-traumatic stress, and it really, really it killed me. It ripped the heart out of me. When the planes hit the building, I knew exactly how many boys died. I mean, not that they didn't. But I said to myself, over 200 boys died there. It's a fireman going up the staircase with no, they shut the electricity, but they were going up, and I could see the face in the fireman. That just the idea that they were going to have to climb 70 flights of stairs to get upstairs, you know. And they were worn out before they even started. And to see all those men die and people jumping out of windows 70 stories high, my God, because you have no chance because the heat was so great. It was like 2,000 degrees. The skin was melting on your body. It was bad. It was bad. It was no good.
Yeah, people didn't realize. I mean, they could just see it from afar, the horror of that day. But I really felt for the fire crew, too, and having so many volunteer firemen in my family's life.
I really have a lot of respect for volunteer firemen because they go out. They're not good. Well, nowadays they get some kind of money up for medical. But when I was young, they didn't get anything. If they got hurt, it was theirs. And another thing is they go out and they'd fight a fire during the night, and then during the morning they'd go to their regular job. And I really, really have great respect for volunteer firemen.
Boy, no kidding. Well, we have great respect for you, Joe, for everything that you've sacrificed, and I'm glad you're shining a light on this. Pick up his book, The Forgotten War, Fire and Death, at Amazon.com.
There was also, on YouTube, I got a trailer, and it showed you what was going on. It's The Forgotten War, Fire and Death, and then the trailer comes on. Or you could just put Joseph F. Maraglino. It's a trailer. It shows you what was happening.
What happened, yeah.
Right.
Yep. Thank you, Joe. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And be safe, please.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on.
So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.